The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from teenvogue.com. Our first article from teenvogue.com, Republican Presidential Candidates 2024, Who is Running? And this article was written by Rachel Gianfaza. With the 2024 presidential election underway, there's already a crowded field of Republican candidates vying for the nomination. While the field is still very much dominated by the Trump show, the twice-impeached, once-indicted, insurrection-boosting former president that is so far the front-runner, a number of other Republican candidates have thrown their hat in the ring for the 2024 GOP presidential nomination, either officially or unofficially, via trips to Iowa, the first state where Republicans will weigh in on who should be their party's nominee, and other early primary states like New Hampshire and South Carolina. So far, our cast of characters includes the first former president to face a criminal indictment, a 37-year-old biopharmaceutical entrepreneur who thinks we should raise the voting age to 25, the first female governor of South Carolina, and one of the two sitting black senators. Here's everything you need to know. Former President Donald Trump. Donald Trump is running again as the slew of controversies surrounding him continues to grow. Most recently, Trump was found liable for sexually abusing and defaming writer and longtime Elle columnist E. Jean Carroll. In April, Trump also became the first ever current or former president to face criminal charges. He was indicted over a case regarding hush money payments related to his 2016 presidential campaign, but pleaded not guilty to all 34 felony counts. And the former president is the subject of multiple other legal inquiries, including an investigation in Fulton County, Georgia, over his attempts to interfere with the electoral count of the 2020 election. Trump has said he will continue to run in 2024, even if he is convicted. He is legally allowed to do so. And yet, the 76-year-old is still the front-runner in the 2024 Republican field, with a loyal base of followers behind him looking to make America great again, though his campaign thus far has mostly consisted of bashing other candidates, including those who haven't officially launched their campaigns yet, rather than focusing on tangible policies. When he announced his campaign in November, Trump once again threw doubt on the electoral system and painted himself as an outsider who is not a politician or a conventional candidate. The former president is pouring money into digital and television ads that attack Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who just announced his own run for the GOP nomination. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. The Florida governor officially launched his campaign in a Twitter Spaces conversation with the company's CEO Elon Musk that was widely described as a flop and a disaster. The glitchy system was interrupted amid nearly 30 minutes of technical difficulties. The DeSantis/Elon crossover came after the governor paraded around Iowa in mid-May, making it all but certain he was about to launch his campaign. Though he's dipped in popularity in recent months as Trump's campaign has taken off, the 44-year-old Floridian has made a name for himself by waging culture wars. He's signed a slew of bills into law in the Sunshine State to clamp down on LGBTQ rights, ban diversity, equity, and inclusion education, as well as AP African American history in public schools, prohibit abortion after 6 weeks, enable permitless concealed carry, and restrict transgender health care for minors. And he started a feud with Disney after the family-oriented conglomerate with LGBTQ-friendly policies denounced his education policies. Once an ally of Trump, DeSantis has become a bitter foe. Trump's not-so-catchy nickname for the governor, Ron DeSanctimonious. Ex-South Carolina Governor and U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley. The former South Carolina governor and U.S. ambassador to the United Nations under Trump launched her campaign for the GOP nomination in February, calling for a new generation of leadership. The 51-year-old daughter of Indian immigrants was the first non-white, non-male governor of South Carolina and the youngest governor in the country, and casts herself as someone who bucks the Republican status quo. In recent years, Haley has faced criticism for her on-again, off-again alliance with Trump, but hopped back on the anti-Trump bandwagon when she became the first official challenger to the former president this winter. So far, Haley is the only woman to announce a bid on the Republican side. In her campaign launch video, Haley highlighted her background being not black, not white, and said, "I was different." She called out Republicans for losing the popular vote in 7 out of the last 8 presidential elections, arguing for a change and lamenting the failure of the Washington establishment. So far, she's touted the need for fiscal responsibility and a secure border. In her launch video, she also emphasized that she doesn't put up with bullies, and, alluding to her track record as a woman in politics, said, "When you kick back, it hurts them more if you're wearing heels." Earlier this month, Haley declined to endorse a federal abortion ban, which is shaping up to become a barometer check for GOP candidates as the primary unfolds. She said it would not be honest to mislead Americans with the idea that a federal ban is on the table. Former Vice President Mike Pence. Former Vice President Mike Pence, who broke from Trump after he certified the results of the 2020 election in the aftermath of the insurrection, despite calls from Trump encouraging him not to do so, has formally announced his own campaign for the presidency. The former Indiana governor has made stops in Iowa, South Carolina, and New Hampshire. Duncan, anyone? In a past life, Pence, an evangelical Christian and staunch conservative, received flack for an Indiana bill that allowed businesses to discriminate against the LGBTQ community and signed an abortion law in 2016 that was at the time one of the most strict in the country. Recently, he's been outspoken against the former president, saying that Trump put Pence's family in danger during the January 6th insurrection. In April, he also testified to a grand jury investigating Trump regarding January 6th and the fallout from his failure to accept the results of the 2020 election. During his campaign launch event, he blamed the former president for abandoning conservative ideals and the Constitution. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. The former New Jersey governor officially launched his 2024 White House bid on June 6th at the New Hampshire Institute of Politics, declaring his mission to take out Trump, who he called a self-consumed, self-serving mirror hog. Christie, who has spent the past few years as an ABC commentator, has blamed Trump for indicting January 6th and further blasted the former president for his focus on the 2020 election, arguing that the party as a whole should focus on the future. He's also said he doesn't think Trump could defeat Biden in a 2024 rematch. Christie, who ran for GOP nomination in 2016, is one of the only candidates willing to directly jab at Trump, though he supported the former president in his 2020 re-election campaign, notoriously helping Trump with his debate prep at the time. Christie in April told Semaphore that, "If I get into the race, I'll make it interesting," and has stances that differ from some right-wing GOP contenders. While he doesn't support abortion, he does approve of the procedure in cases of rape and incest and does not believe there should be a federal ban. Entrepreneur and anti-woke crusader Vivek Ramaswamy. The 37-year-old entrepreneur launched his campaign in February, positioning himself as a political outsider with a fresh perspective. I am launching not only a political campaign, but a cultural movement to create a new American dream, one that is not only about money, but about the unapologetic pursuit of excellence, he wrote in a Wall Street Journal op-ed titled, Why I'm Running for President. Ramaswamy made headlines earlier this month when he proposed raising the voting age to 25 years old, except for those who have met a national service requirement. Previously, the biopharmaceutical company founder has written two books. Woke, Inc., Inside Corporate America's Social Justice Scam, and Nation of Victims, Identity Politics, The Death of Merit, and the Path Back to Excellence. Beyond civic duty voting, the name for his idea to raise the voting age, Ramaswamy has proposed America's First 2.0, a series of 25 policy commitments to take America first further than Trump. In recent weeks, Ramaswamy has lamented the abandonment of rule of law in America and said he wants to shut down the FBI, IRS, and the Department of Education. So far, Ramaswamy's campaign is mostly self-funded. The millionaire set out by bankrolling his campaign with well over $10 million, according to Federal Election Commission reports. Ex-Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson. The former Arkansas governor has positioned himself as a palatable alternative to the MAGA wing of the Republican Party. In launching his campaign in Bentonville, Arkansas, Hutchinson said he wants to bring out the best in America and that he aims to fight for the future of our country and the soul of our party. Throughout his years in office, Hutchinson was an outspoken critic of Trump and has called on the former president to drop out of the primary race, telling ABC's John Carl that the office is more important than any individual person. The staunch conservative has said he does not support a federal abortion ban, NBC News reports, though he signed a near-total abortion ban into Arkansas law in 2021. He later said the ban should be revisited to include exceptions for rape and incest after the overturn of Roe v. Wade. While in office, Hutchinson vetoed a bill banning gender-affirming care for youth, but signed a law banning transgender women and girls from competing in sports teams of their corresponding gender identity. Currently, his campaign website lists priorities including American energy, border security, and national defense, among other topics. He also said he wants to cut federal spending and reduce the federal civilian workforce by 10%. Right-wing commentator Larry Elder. The right-wing political commentator launched his campaign for president in April. Elder was the leading GOP challenger in the unsuccessful Republican-led effort to recall California Governor Gavin Newsom in 2021 over accusations regarding Newsom's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. America is in decline, but this decline is not inevitable, Elder said in launching his presidential campaign. We can enter a new American golden age, but we must choose a leader who can bring us there. That's why I'm running for president. The long-shot candidate has a massive following due to his radio show and Fox News commentary. He told ousted former Fox News host Tucker Carlson in April that he is running for president because his father and brothers served in the Army, but he didn't, and he feels compelled to serve the country in some capacity. I feel that I have a moral and religious and a patriotic duty that has been so good to my family and to me, Elder told Carlson at the time. Elder listed border security and law enforcement as top issues and said he's also running to push back against the lie that America is systematically racist. Senator Tim Scott. The current South Carolina senator and only black Republican in the Senate announced his campaign for president at the end of May after launching an exploratory committee and Faith in America listening tour through early primary states, including his home of South Carolina, Iowa, and New Hampshire. He rolled out a video also titled Faith in America on April 12th, commemorating the start of the Civil War in South Carolina, and set up a parallel between the divisions the country faced then and the current dilemmas fracturing the country today. Once again, our divisions run deep, and the threat to our future is real, Scott said in the video. I know America is a land of opportunity, not a land of oppression. I know it because I've lived it, he said. I will never back down in defense of the conservative values that make America exceptional. In the video, Scott said he would protect religious liberty, stand up to China, fight for choice in education, defend our borders and our neighborhood streets, and protect the right to life. Scott told attendees at his campaign launch event in North Charleston, South Carolina, that we need a president who persuades not just our friends and our base, adding, we have to have a compassion for people who don't agree with us. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum. Multimillionaire software executive turned North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum joined the crowded 2024 GOP field in June, framing himself as the candidate of small-town values. Burgum, who is little known on the national stage, plans to distinguish himself by focusing on the economy, energy, and national security rather than hot-button culture war issues, according to NBC News. Yet, Burgum signed one of the strictest abortion bans in the country into law earlier this year, essentially eliminating access to the procedure in North Dakota. The legislation bans the procedure with exceptions only in the first 6 weeks and only in cases of rape, incest, or medical emergency like ectopic pregnancy. Texan businessman and pastor Ryan Binkley. One of the long-shot contenders in the campaign, Ryan Binkley, is a business executive and pastor of Create Church, a non-denominational church he co-founded with his wife. According to the Des Moines Register, Binkley decided to launch his bid because in recent years he's heard calls from the Lord about what's needed in our country. Per his campaign website, this road to freedom involves restoring unity by seeking bipartisan solutions, reducing the national debt, promoting transparency in health care pricing, and achieving energy independence. Michigan businessman Perry Johnson. Yet another businessman candidate, Perry Johnson's dream as president is to put Washington on a diet, shrink the size of the federal government, and lower taxes. This is not his first foray into politics. According to the Associated Press, his 2022 bid for Michigan governor was deemed ineligible after the state's election bureau found that he filed thousands of fraudulent nominating signatures. Johnson enthusiastically backed Trump's campaigns in 2016 and 2020 and remains a supporter of the former president. Miami Mayor Francis Suarez. Francis Suarez stands out from the rest of the field as the only Latino, he is Cuban American, and one of the youngest candidates, he is 45. Announcing his 2024 campaign launch via video on June 14th, Suarez pitched himself as the best bet to take the country forward and connect with young and urban voters. Since he was first elected as Miami mayor in 2017, Suarez has tried to attract Silicon Valley entrepreneurs and crypto money to the city, announcing in 2021 that he would take his salary in Bitcoin and promoting a branded cryptocurrency called Miami Coin, according to the New York Times. He has remained a crypto booster even as the industry has crashed in recent months, with coin values plummeting and industry leader Sam Bankman-Fried facing criminal charges for securities fraud. Suarez has also spoken out about the imminent threat climate change poses to Miami and South Florida. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Tom Holland is taking a year off from acting after a tough time filming The Crowded Room. And this article was written by Sarah Delgado. Tom Holland is officially putting a pause on acting. The Spider-Man actor announced he's taking a one-year break from work following the completion of his upcoming Apple TV Plus series, The Crowded Room, which premiered Friday, June 9th. In a new interview with Extra TV promoting The Crowded Room, Tom Holland admitted that filming the show was a tough time because of the grueling nature of his character's story. ICYMI, Holland plays Danny Sullivan, a character loosely based on Billy Milligan, who, as Apple noted, was the first person ever acquitted of a crime, citing his dissociative identity disorder. On top of the emotional challenges, Holland also shared that being involved as a producer on the series meant he was dealing with an extra level of pressure. The combination of the two resulted in a breaking point for the British actor. "I'm no stranger to hard work," he said. "I've lived by the idea that hard work is good work. Then again, the show did break me. There did come a time when I needed a break and disappeared and went to Mexico for a week and had time on a beach and laid low." As a result of how difficult this show was, Holland took the executive decision to take a year off, though he did not clarify if he meant acting, producing, or both. It's likely the latter. If you've been following Holland for a while, you'd know this isn't the first time he's mentioned this much-needed break. In February 2022, Holland already admitted he was planning to take some time off. "I can confidently say that after I finish that TV show, I will be taking a break," the star said at the time, referring to The Crowded Room, which was then still unannounced. A few months earlier, in December 2021, he had also referenced a sizable break in an interview with People. "I've spent the last 6 years being so focused on my career. I want to take a break and focus on starting a family and figuring out what I want to do outside of this world," he said at the time. Over the last year, Holland has been more outspoken than ever before about his personal preferences and mental health. Last summer, he announced he was taking a break from social media, admitting he finds it overwhelming oftentimes. "I get caught up and I spiral when I read things about me online. Ultimately, it's very detrimental to my mental state," he said then. He has since returned to social media to celebrate his 27th birthday. Much like his partner Zendaya, Holland is using social media rather sparingly to commemorate momentous occasions or promote his upcoming projects, like The Crowded Room. In a recent interview with Entertainment Weekly, where he also revealed he was newly sober, Holland attributed much of his openness around mental health to his work on The Crowded Room. "Learning about mental health and the power of it, and speaking to psychiatrists about Danny's struggles, has been something that has been so informative to my own life," he said. "I'm no stranger to the physical aspects of the job, but the mental aspect, it really beat me up, and it took a long time for me to recover afterward, to sort of get back to reality." In the past, Zendaya has opened up about relying on Holland for support to help her pull out from Euphoria's more emotionally taxing storylines, so we sure hope the feeling is mutual, and we have a tingling sensation that that's the case. In related news, Holland and Zendaya are officially set to reunite on screen in a fourth Spider-Man movie, which will likely begin filming after Holland's break and the current WGA strike. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Jenna Ortega teared up talking to Elle Fanning about manipulative social media, and this article was written by Alyssa Hardy. Jenna Ortega opened up about what it's like to be someone, especially a young person, in the public eye on social media. The actress was in conversation with Elle Fanning for Variety when she started talking about the ways social media can be manipulative and toxic. "It's such a comparing game. It influences bandwagon mentality. It's very manipulative. After the show, I'm really nervous to post or even say anything on there or even be myself because I feel like," Ortega began. She added that she tends to be sarcastic and often worries that people will misinterpret what she says. And the more I've been exposed to the world, people prey on that and take advantage of that. They see your vulnerability and twist it in a way that you don't always expect, she went on. At this point in the conversation, Ortega begins to tear up, quickly apologizing for it until Fanning assures her it's okay. It's such a hard thing to balance, because how do you be honest without jeopardizing your own health and safety? It's very easy to feel almost out of control, Ortega said. She added that she wants to be authentic and often resents the industry norms of having to always be smiling in front of a camera. It just feels gross, and I don't want to feel gross. I would rather people see me cry and do whatever than be something I'm not, she concluded. While this is obviously a very personal topic to Ortega, the negative impact of social media on young people is becoming more talked about than ever. In May, the United States Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, issued the first ever advisory on social media usage. In it, he lays out alarming stats about the impact it has on body image and mental health. And he encourages legislation to regulate the ways social platforms are used by young people. Our next article, from TeenVogue.com. Jennifer Lawrence said she would totally reprise her Hunger Games role. And this article was written by Ashley Carter. Jennifer Lawrence is down to play Katniss Everdeen again. The Oscar-winning actor said in a recent interview with Variety that she is open to reprising her role in the Hunger Games franchise that skyrocketed her into fame. "Oh my God, totally," Lawrence said when asked if she would ever play Katniss again. "If Katniss could ever come back into my life, 100%. Lawrence then joked, "My producing partner just clutched her heart." Lawrence, 32, starred in the global phenomenon as Katniss in all four Hunger Games films from 2012 to 2015. The movies are based on Suzanne Collins's trilogy of the same name and tell the story of a dystopian society that forces people to compete in the deadly Hunger Games. Lawrence became a household name after the success of the franchise. Earlier this year, it seemed like everyone was rewatching the series more than a decade after the first was released, when all four movies were added to Netflix, and there are plenty of tweets to prove it. But fans won't have to wait much longer to be immersed in the world of Panem. A prequel film called Hunger Games: Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes is set to be released in November. After an official trailer was released in April, fans got to pick out Easter eggs from the upcoming film. If any other books or films come out in the future, Lawrence seems to be ready to strap on Katniss's signature bow again. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.